I remember my first big order that I considered a big order, $500 not fudge, it was nougat. And I just remember having an internal freak out. Oh my God, I've just spent $500 on nougat.
What's up, fabulous people, and welcome to Real Fabulous Marketing. This is the place where you'll hear stories of real fabulous people to inspire you and also get some amazing marketing strategies that will help you stand out from the crowd, particularly online. I can't wait to do this with you. Let's dive in. Hey there, it's Miranda here. And just before we jump on into this amazing raw interview with Michelle Smith from Curator with Conscience, I have a bit of an announcement to make. Ta-da! I have made it to 50 episodes, and to celebrate, I am doing a giveaway with Curator with Conscience, and all you need to do to enter to win their amazing Cuppa with a Conscience hamper valued at $95 plus shipping, of course. We're not going to make you pay for your own shipping to your direct house, but this hamper is full of delicious fudge, chai, coffee, your own Husky Keep Cup, which is my preferred Keep Cup, not sponsored, could be. And all you need to do to enter is to leave a review on your preferred podcast app. You can jump on into Apple Podcasts or Spotify if they allow reviews. I'm not 100% sure on that, but jump on in and leave me a review. Tell me what you like about the show. That would be awesome. And if you share listening to this on your Instagram stories, you will get another entry into the competition. The competition will close on June the 10th. That's a Friday. And I will announce the winner in my weekly email and also on the podcast later in that week. So if you want to win yourself an awesome Curator with Conscience hamper, all you need to do is to leave a review on your favorite podcasting app. And if you want a bonus entry, share yourself listening to Real Fabulous Marketing on your Instagram stories and tag me at Miranda Ivy Media so I can find it. Now, let's dive in.
Michelle Smith is the founder of Curated with Conscience, an ethical, sustainable, and humanitarian style gift hamper company based in Melbourne. She's a self-styled social justice activist. She started by being just a bit more informed about where she spent her own money and then decided she wanted to take it even further. After having her first child, she began Curator with Conscience, and as she didn't want to go back to her corporate career, she needed to make a red hot go of it at the same time. I have been waiting to have Michelle on my podcast for a while, but she's just been too busy expanding her business until now. So welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Miranda. How are you?
I'm good. So I love to go back to the beginning, where and when and how people began their business. That first little inkling of the idea, you know, that moment where you go, oh, you know, I thought this was completely not possible, but now I'm starting to think that it is possible for me to have an ethically sourced hamper business, even if I think I'm kind of crazy for thinking that it's possible. So when was that for you, and what did you do about it?
Gosh, it was a slow burn, to be honest. It actually started in my early 20s, talk about a very long path to starting this business. I remember first learning about fair trade and hearing about the fair trade movement in the late 90s, probably showing my age now. And I remember just being absolutely mortified hearing about the chocolate industry and the exploitation of farmers in developing countries, you know, slave labor and child labor. And just the fact that we didn't really know about all these ethical issues, you know, when we went to the shops and when we purchased, you know, goods and services. And that kind of is where the interest began. And from there, I just kept learning more. I remember reading a book by, do you know Anita Roddick, the founder of The Body Shop?
Yes, I was a big Body Shop buyer. In fact, my current hand wash smells a bit like fuzzy peach, the spray that I love stuff in the Body Shop.
I love it. Oh, well, back then I just, yeah, I loved the Body Shop. I loved what they stood for. But she wrote a book called Business as Unusual. And to me, I think it was the early 2000s or mid 2000s, it was just such a game changer for me, because I was so inspired to hear about this new business movement that was challenging the way business had always been done and encouraging and challenging is the word, business to reconsider its role in the community and, you know, more broadly speaking, in the world, I guess, in terms of you have a responsibility to be a force for good, because like any other, you know, citizen of a community, you have responsibilities, not only economic responsibilities to, you know, create jobs and create, you know, economic prosperity, but to ensure that, you know, social and environmental factors come into play as well in your business decisions. So I was just totally inspired, and I was just like, you know what, I really want to be part of this movement. I'd studied marketing at uni. I was in an early stage, marketing career, and I just thought, how do I get into this? Like, I want to be in this corporate social responsibility, businesses as a force for good. And at the time, it was all pretty fringe in Australia. It was really hard to get into. Then I went to the UK. So I worked in the travel industry for a long time. I went to the UK, and over there, the whole fair trade movement was much more advanced than it was here. And again, I saw these businesses that consumers absolutely adored because the products were amazing, but they had these incredible stories of, you know, ethical sourcing and social impact. And it was just so inspiring to me that you can have a for-purpose business that actually can change the world as well. So all this has been simmering for a long time. Then what happened was 2016, I had my first child, Charlie. I was at home. I was struggling a little bit. The doctor diagnosed me as having postnatal depression. To me, it felt like anxiety, but maybe it's one of the same thing. I can't quite remember anymore, but I was pretty fragile, and just looking at the world around me while I was at home with a newborn baby, and, you know, climate change and the inaction of the Australian government, and, you know, Scott Morrison going into Parliament with a lump of coal and all that ridiculous stuff. And then at the same time, I remember Trump just got in, and I just had this overwhelming feeling that, the planet's going to hell in a handbasket, and the anxiety was quite crippling. And I just thought, it was actually for my mental health. I have to do something. I have to channel this anxiety into something positive that's going to make a difference. Otherwise, I was just struggling. So that's actually the catalyst to going, you know what, no more talking about it, no more thinking about it. Let's make this happen.
That's awesome. I mean, and what a good way to channel your anxiety, even though running your own business can sometimes bring up more anxieties.
Totally.
But like, so what did you do next? Did you start to research companies? Was it always going to be a hamper business, or was there something else you wanted to do?
Yeah, so that's interesting. So it was always going to be a product-based business of some sort. So back in the early 2000s, I was ready to spend my money on businesses that were doing good in the world. But at the time, fair trade or anything, you know, ethical, if you want to use that kind of broad term, it tended to be, I don't have a nicer word, but a bit daggy. and I don't know, it just wasn't to my taste. So I really thought, how amazing if I could buy premium products that first and foremost I would buy anyway because they're stunning and gorgeous, but they have a beautiful story behind it, an ethical story and, you know, a social impact story, you know, if they're social enterprise products. So the idea for the business came from a personal need, I guess, is how can I find products and gifts that are design-led, which is what I wanted, but also, you know, artisan, ethical and sustainable and, where possible, you know, directed to positive social impact. So then that's where the hamper idea came from. The hamper idea was because I didn't want to sell individual products because I hate wrapping. I thought, you know what, bundling is going to make logistics a lot easier. So that's actually where the hamper idea came from.
Well, I guess also then you can put it in the nice box and you can add the padding that's all like actually, I'm fairly sure it's compostable, isn't it? Like,
yeah, that's right.
Rather than wrapping it. Because, I mean, there's nothing worse than buying a book or something online where you're like, oh, I'm being good and buying a book. And it comes in this plastic wrapped contraption.
Yes. Or it comes in a massive oversized box for a tiny little book with all filler in the box. Have you had that happen as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So, I hit on the hamper concept. And you know what? It was a bit of a blind faith thing. I just went, I have no clue about the gifting industry. I have no experience in product-based businesses. I just went for it. It was just passion. It was driven purely by passion. And I did a lot of research. I went to markets. I researched online. I contacted social enterprises and just pulled together as well as I could these hampers with the notion that first and foremost, they have to be gorgeous. You have to love them. And then they have these beautiful layers of stories and you know, inspiring social impact. So that's where the concept came from. And I learnt as I went along, really. I just learnt as I went along.
That's so awesome. And I love that you've got some banging in the background because you've moved into this new office. And I hopefully, even if people can't really hear it, I have some children having their sports day at the Oval across the road. Such a,
all happening.
A good day, you know. Putting it in school hours. That's how we roll.
Yes.
So, but when you started to purchase these amazing looking items, and I do remember that about you, you're always like, it's got to be beautiful. It's not pretty. But did you start to purchase the items? And was there ever a moment when you were just like, oh God, I feel a little bit sick. Like I really want to do this, but it's just sort of like that feeling of like, oh, what have I done?
100%. I remember my first big order that I considered a big order, $500 it was Nougat. And I just remember having an internal freak out. Oh my God, I've just spent $500 on Nougat. I hope people buy these hampers.
I'm going to have a lot of Nougat to
eat. I'm going to be eating Nougat for next year. There was that. And I think another internal freak out, which was actually a positive thing that happened, was I was going to send little yummy gifts to some corporates. So I looked through the B Corp list for the B Corp registered accredited businesses and just reached out to a bunch of corporates. And without even having to send a gift, I started to get orders, corporate Christmas orders. And one client in particular said, oh my God, I'm so glad you emailed us because we were thinking we were going to have to do this ourselves for our clients, is create these ethical hampers, but now we know you do it. Here's our order. And then suddenly I had my first big order and I had a six-month-old baby and I was living in a three-bedroom townhouse. I was like, how do I fulfill this order? So that was another freak-out moment.
Well, clearly you did it.
I did. And you know what? I was actually really honest with them. I just thought, I can't pretend I'm some professional enterprise right now because, the giveaway was when the EA to the CEO called me, my baby was screaming his head off in the background. So kind of, you know, the game was up from the beginning.
I kind of think that's okay, though. I think there's too much pressure for small business owners to seem all professional. I know I used to buy into that crap as well. Like, oh, I'm doing a video, better put on a shirt in case somebody, you know, realizes that I do my business in my pajamas half the time.
Oh, totally. And I think it's, you know, that's all in the past now because since, you know, 2 years of COVID, everyone dresses casually in meetings now and no one cares if your dog is there or your kids are there. And, you know, I think we're in a different world now, which is kind of nice.
It is nice. So you sort of like got over those early stumbling blocks. Was there like another turning point at some stage where you're like, oh, I think this is going to work. Like,
yeah,
I think absolutely. I'm going to keep going.
That's right. Well, it's interesting you should say that, because for the first year, in the back of my mind, I was still hedging my bets. And, you know, there was definitely a plan B in my head about going back to corporate, even though I didn't want to. But the big turning point for me, which, you know, I know COVID has been very difficult for everyone in their own way, but for me, it made my business take off. Because, you know, by necessity, people had to order online if they wanted to, you know, give someone a birthday gift or celebrate a birthday or a milestone. We were all trapped in our houses for, you know, best part of 2 years, especially in Melbourne. And the business just came to me. Like, it literally, there was very little marketing. The business just came in organically. And what happened was I was forced to scale when I wasn't actually planning to scale. So it came to a point where I was working till midnight every night. And by then I had two young children, and by then I was a single mother. It's another story. and I physically could not fulfill these orders on my own anymore. So it was time to scale. It was time to build a team. It was time to build infrastructure, commit to expenses, get it out of the house for a start. That was the other really hard thing. When my kids couldn't go to daycare, I was working all day with two young kids under my feet, and it was just bad for them. You know, it was just not a good situation. So I was forced out of my comfort zone, took out a commercial lease, employed a team, had some big lessons from employing and recruiting as well, which, again, you have to go through, I think. So it was a growing pains period, but it was one of those turning points where you either scale or you contract. And I just knew I was so passionate about this. Like, I really want to make a difference in the world. I want to have some legacy, you know, a positive legacy. There was no turning back, and it's just kept growing, and I've made more scary decisions, and I will continue to do so.
I did laugh when you said I just didn't want to go back to my corporate career, because I think it's, you know, I have the same conversation every week with mums who are, or even other people who've taken a change in life, and they're just like, you know what, I just don't want to do it anymore.
It's almost too painful, isn't it? The idea of it is just like, oh no.
Yeah. And it is that, like, okay, well, how can I do it? And sometimes we do put too much pressure on ourselves to make it happen in a really short amount of time. But it sounds like you sort of took a few steps, like you emailed you took those marketing outreach steps, which can be a little bit scary at times, to email those corporate companies, but it actually really paid off for you.
Oh, that's it. Well, it's interesting too, because I always thought, well, from the beginning, I thought it would be an e-com, a pure play e-com business. And the reason being was that I was at home with a young baby, you know, this is back in 2016, and just because I was a bit fragile as a new mum, and I liked the idea that I could hide behind my business and hide behind the computer. But then when corporate took off and I was having to, you know, meet with corporates and EAs and CEOs, and I was like, oh my God, this wasn't the plan. But it kind of forced, you know, it helped me to improve my confidence, and just, you know, it was a blessing in disguise. But it was an unexpected development in the business, I must say.
Yeah, which often happens.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah, it's hard to predict.
When we take action towards something, oh, what? Something else happened? Some unexpected outcome? Oh my goodness.
That happens so
all the time. So, I mean, you're talking about like corporate businesses doing this. Is this corporate social responsibility, or even like, let's call it maybe business social responsibility, if people aren't corporate businesses, like what can they do about, you know, you're talking a lot about social justice, climate change, you know, does buying ethically make a difference?
Absolutely. Well, it's consumer-led change, which is really exciting. So businesses and companies make decisions. Well, a good business or a good company will make a decision based on the needs and the wants and the desires of their customers. So the way you spend your money is a vote for what you want. It's a vote for the ethics you want. And it's a vote for the values that you want your brands to have. So, I mean, there's a lot of research now that consumers actively seek out brands with values alignment. It's very important. It's, you know, the days of that kind of, you know, just it's not transactional anymore. It's almost an extension of you, the brands that you purchase from. So I think if you want to survive as a business now, not survive but thrive as a business, you have no choice. You have to look at your community. You have to look at your stakeholders. You have to look at your customers. What do they want? And overwhelmingly, they want brands that the product is quality, the sourcing is ethical, and the business is committed to having a positive impact in the world.
So true. And do you think that has a positive impact then on, I guess you just said that, like, people seek out those types of brands. I mean, what I'm trying to get at is, you know, if people do take the action towards being more socially responsible and go, you know, working with sustainable brands and maybe sort of sharing that on their marketing and their social media, do you think that has then a positive impact on buyers' perception when they're choosing a brand?
Oh, it 100% does. There's a lot of research on that now. And for-purpose businesses are actually more profitable as well. So it's a business imperative now. It's not even an option. Like if you want to have a sustainable business with a loyal customer base and you know, the repeat purpose and the brand advocacy, you have to embed your values into every aspect of your business. And consumers aren't stupid. If it's just, you know, greenwashing, that's people see right through that now.
Can you define greenwashing if people haven't heard of that term before?
Yeah, I guess it's just that surface level, you know, we do something sustainable and we'll put it in our communication. So we've ticked that box. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, sustainability and corporate social responsibility really has to be in your DNA, whether it's your employees, your suppliers, your customers. You have to think about every single business decision you make and how it impacts all your stakeholders and whether it's in a positive way or not. It's just such a different way and an amazing way of doing business, to be honest.
There's so much food for thought there. And how do you think, like, if somebody's listening to this, how could they, and they're like, well, I'd like to do a bit more, like, how could they get started and how could they align their business with,
these values? Something I'm very keen to do is apply for B Corp certification. So I don't know if you've heard of B Corp, but basically it's, their tagline is business is a force for good. So they have a very stringent accreditation process, which looks at social, environmental, all kinds of factors, sustainability factors within your business. And generally speaking, to get accredited, it can take a year or more. Like, it's full on. There's no greenwashing. There's no hiding. They look at they look under every little rock and stone in your business. But what they do is, even if you don't do the accreditation, you can download online their accreditation document. So you can see the types of things, like, do you have a policy on slavery, you know? Do you have a policy on, you know, social impact? And can you state and can you actually quantify your impact? So you need proof, essentially. So I'd recommend everyone have a look at B Corp Australia's website and just go through the questionnaire and all the different categories and think about how you can integrate some of those concepts into your business.
I love that. Thanks, Michelle. I'll pop the link in the show notes for everyone to go check it out. And it is those small actions. And I think even, you know, by following Curator with Conscience on socials or, you know, just talking about these things, that's also important, isn't it? Like, so that people learn more about them and have more awareness around them.
Yeah, totally. Well, we take it a step further because we have some causes we're very passionate about. So you've probably seen Miranda. So climate action is something that the brand is extremely passionate about. So we do a collaboration with the Climate Council. So our Powered by the Sun hamper, for example, all the products in that hamper, the suppliers all use renewable solar energy. And even the box, it's an Australian box manufacturer. That's made using solar power as well, but that's also 100% recycled material as well. So we donate $10 from each sale to the Climate Council. So what we do is we actually try to spread messages for the causes and the organisations and the people we're passionate about who are doing amazing work to get their, you know, messages out there as well. So I feel like our impact is quite layered.
I love your Powered by the Sun hamper as well, and you were lovely enough to offer that as part of the online option for flood relief as well, which was kind of very tied in and timely, wasn't it?
I thought so too. Yes, I did. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. It was great to take part in that. It was really inspiring.
I love it. And so, you know, you've been in business for almost 6 years now. Is that right?
Yeah, my gosh. Yep.
So, you know, looking back, like, what do you think your greatest challenge has been during that time?
Yeah, sure. I think that I have not I'll take a step back. I'm working with a mindset coach. And awesome. Part of that work is, as you kind of alluded to earlier, business is so, there are big ups, there are big downs, and then there's in between as well. And a lot of it's, not all, but some of it's outside of your control. And you know, that whole, you know, it's a roller coaster, cliche roller coaster. It's true. But trying to reframe that in terms of, it's a fun journey regardless. So during the highs, wow, look at this, this is amazing. During the tough periods, this is interesting. What are the factors I can control here? What can I learn from this? What can I take forward? So I guess what I'm getting at is I want to try to enjoy it more. I want it to be more fun. I want to make it more fun, whereas to this up to now, I think it has been a bit stressful just because I'm so passionate about it. It literally encompasses every value and every passion I have this business. So I'm so invested in it, emotionally invested and otherwise, that it feels like it's been a little bit stressful. But yeah, like I said, and as you said, business is hard, but it's also great and it's all part of it. So just trying to enjoy it more is probably what I'm getting at.
That's awesome. And what do you know, like, there's been some good things that you've done over the past few years. Like, what do you think one of your biggest achievements has been?
I think I'm so proud that I've created jobs. It's just to know that I've given people a livelihood. It's just the best feeling. And I'm also so proud that I have helped to grow good businesses and helped social enterprises to expand their market reach. And I'm proud of the big donations that I've made as well. I think all that is kind of, yeah, it just lights me up. I'm just so happy. I couldn't have done that in corporate. I could have made a little bit of difference in corporate, but here I'm calling the shots, I'm making stuff happen, and I'm creating the impact. So I think that's what I'm most proud of. Yep.
Oh, I love that. And I remember seeing, I think it was last year on your stories on the brand's Instagram, you're building a house.
Yes.
For you and your children.
I know. Gosh. And that's I know. That's amazing. So just to give the quick backstory. So I found myself a single mother in 2019. So sadly, my marriage ended while I was 6 months pregnant. And at the time, the business wasn't a full-time pursuit. Like, it wasn't giving me a full-time income by any stretch. And I didn't know what my future was going to look like and what kind of future my children would have. And just Thank goodness. You know, I've got my customers to thank, to be honest. Like, they're as passionate about this business as I am. They're the ones that have got in there and supported it. And not only have they, you know, helped for me to create social impact, but they've actually enabled me to, I'm feeling a bit emotional now. sorry.
Oh, it's beautiful. I remember we had a conversation in 2019. I think it was maybe late, I think you'd had your daughter and you were like, this has to work.
It has to work. Exactly.
It has to happen for me. And I remember feeling that, and that's why, having watched your journey over the past couple of years, I mean, like, yes.
Thank you. And yeah, so I managed to save a house deposit, which just blew my mind. So, yeah, I'm building a house in regional Victoria, outside of Castlemaine. So I'm just, yeah, it's just, honestly, I just can't believe the difference, you know, a few years can make. It's just amazing. Yep.
Yay, I'm getting a bit emotional too. So just, you know, I do love to ask this question, and we did talk about it before we jumped on.
Yes.
Because I think, like you said, having fun in business is important. And I also think it is the new way, like the new way of doing business, because we've been brought up in this world of thinking that business needs to be done by men, white men in suits, let's face it.
Yep, totally.
Fancy offices in downtown, and, you know, not by mums sitting at home with their two kids running around their feet. But, you know, so this is the new way of doing business. And so, yes, business needs to be fun too. So what do you do for fun, Michelle? I hope you've come up with more than I've talked about
before. I think I'm going to have to... I wish I could answer that question. Do you know what? Like, I feel like I've been running on adrenaline for the past 5 years, to be honest. I'm coming out of that stage now, and I'll make this assurance to you right now on your show that for the next 12 months, it will be fun. I'll be having fun. There you go. So I can't actually answer that question yet, but it's all about... Now I'm at a point where I've got the structures in place, I've got the team in place, so now I can structure the business more so it's supporting my lifestyle as opposed to it's driving my life. So there you go. That's my pledge. The next 12 months will be fun. What will that look like? It'll look like more delegation to my team. I can do the stuff I love, like work in my zone of genius, like all the strategy and the vision stuff, which I absolutely love. I can also just chill out with my kids as well and just know I don't have to think about the business 24/7 and carve out that time to actually just not think about business. That would be nice.
That sounds good. I might have to have you on in a year to see how much fun you've added into what you're doing. Because I have to admit, like, you know, people listening to this, like, what are you guys talking about? But we did also, we've had a few conversations over the years, and you did want to move out of where you were. I think you were still at home when we had this conversation. Yes. And then you moved into one warehouse last year. Yes. And now you're just about to move into another one. Do you want to tell us a little bit about
absolutely.
That?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. So it's called Click Collective. So it's a co-working warehouse space for e-commerce businesses. So there's one in Moorabbin in Victoria, and they've just opened one up in Vermont. And it sounds like I've got shares in this place because I just love it. Like, I love the concept. It's just the community of small businesses that we are bumping into every day now that we're, you know, we've partially moved in, just to have that community, because something, you know, everyone, business owner will be able to relate to, it can be quite isolating having your own business. So just to know that there's other people in the same game as you, and you know, all the ups and downs and the highs and lows, we can all share that and learn from that. So it's exciting. I mean, it's got all the mod cons, you know, the lunchrooms and the podcast studio where I'm recording this right now, and I feel like I'm very fancy in my podcast studio. So it feels like it's a grown-up move, so I'm very excited.
Well done. That's awesome. So thank you so much for this wonderfully refreshing and honest chat, Michelle. So where can people come and check out your beautiful, your design-led, your ethical, sustainable range of hampers? Where can we find you online?
Yes, it's curatedwithconscience.com.au, and on Instagram and Facebook, it's Curated with Conscience.
I love it. And you do corporate orders, don't you, for larger businesses?
Absolutely. Too. Yep. So we do personal gifting, but also the volume corporate gifts as well. So client gifts, employee gifts, all those sorts of things, milestone gifts.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Miranda. Thanks for your time.
Hey there. I so hope you enjoyed this episode of Real Fabulous Marketing. I made it with you in mind. I was thinking about you while I recorded it. So I'd love to know what you thought of it. Come on over, find me on Instagram and send me a message. I'm at Miranda Ivy Media. And if you'd love for some practical and also quite easy ways to show up as the fabulous expert that you are, then sign up to my free 7-day expert visibility challenge. You just need to head on over to mirandaivy.com/expert. And then I'm going to send you a whole bunch of daily prompts to start sharing your fabulous self with the world. Until next time, stay fabulous.